The word for today is ruah. Show of hands, who knows that word? Father Chris knows that word. Anybody else know that word? It's not a military grunt. It's not ooah. It's ruah. Say it with me. Ruah. It's Hebrew. It means breath, our breath, the wind, and spirit, the spirit of God. It means all those things. Now I want you to hold your hand close in front of your mouth and say it again, and this time put a little lung power into it. Ruah. Did you feel it? It's invisible, but it changes things. Maybe it just changed your opinion of flossing and brushing every morning. I don't know. Today is all about ruah. We have these two stories of the risen Christ appearing to his disciples as they are locked away in fear. They are definitely people in need of ruah. In the first appearance, Jesus blesses them twice with the proclamation of his peace. Twice. It's not just a conversational nicety when we say to somebody, how you doing? And we don't really care. He says it twice. It's not a mere social convention. Peace be with you. Really, peace be with you. I bless you with God's own peace. And then he lays it on them. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them ruah and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit, ruah. In my imagination, I can hear Jesus saying that very word in his Aramaic Hebrew dialect, ruah. Jesus has recreated the disciples. Remember the very first sentence in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, the earth was without form and shape. Darkness was over the abyss. And ruah, a mighty wind, the breath of God, the spirit of God, sweeping over the waters. Ruah. This is what brings true life to everything, to everyone. It is our origin. It is the origin. On Monday before Easter, the bishop gathered with priests and deacons and lay people from all over the diocese in the cathedral to bless the sacred oils that we use sacramentally throughout the year. Two of them are being used today. How did he bless them? He breathed on them. These oils, our share is right behind me, are a physical presence of the prayer and the blessing of the whole church at baptisms, confirmations, anointing of the sick, all year long. They are a rich, lavish sign of the presence of ruah. We are surrounded by it. Yet, we need this second appearance story today to understand it just a little bit better, because we are Thomas. And I don't say that as a bad thing. It's just a fact of human nature. What's the adjective that seems to be permanently attached to Thomas's name? Doubting. Now, here's the thing. I don't think Thomas was any more doubting than any of the other disciples. Remember, nobody got it until they saw Jesus. Mary Magdalene sees the empty tomb, and her first thought is they've stolen his body. It's after she sees him that she understands. Peter won't take the word of the women when they come running back. He has to run back for himself and see the empty spot. The disciples are locked up together for fear. It's all about doubting. We all doubt. Why would we expect Thomas to skip the seeing phase? We shouldn't. But now it's a week later, and Thomas is hearing about the risen Christ. He's a little skeptical, and I'm kind of with him. He knows that the people who are telling him this are a little suspect. These are the same people who about a week ago were all shouting out, "Oh, we'll never leave you, Jesus," right before they ran away. Right before. They're not very believable witnesses. But Thomas isn't primarily a doubter. He was just absent. But when he does see, he makes the greatest of proclamations of faith so far in the Gospels. He says, "My Lord and my God." He's the first one to attach that name. The question for us today is, what will it take in our lives? What will it take in your life, in my life, to see Christ clearly enough, dramatically enough, to make a lifelong difference in who we are? Not just a moment of spiritual peace, those are wonderful, but a difference at the core of our being that sees, that knows in an unshakable way the most important things that a human being can know. First, that Jesus the Christ is alive beyond physical death, alive in a totally new and unending way. And secondly, that you and I individually are so beloved of God that we are invited into that same mystery of new life. And third, that the purpose of our being so loved is so that we can invite others into that life, so that we can give away that ruah, that spirit, for others. You ever forget one or more of those things for a minute? Me too. We gather at Mass to be reminded. These truths are given to us in the ultimate dimension by the life, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So we come together to tell the story over and over and over again. But the story is not over. Christ is risen and is alive today. We are called to be the body of Christ. We are called to carry that ruah, that spirit of Christ. Christ is risen and alive today for those we encounter. Here's the challenging part. Christ is risen and alive today for those we encounter as we carry that spirit forward. He is risen and alive to the extent that we are risen and alive in him. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. That's always been a challenging statement for me. And I think my difficulty stems from misinterpreting the word blessed. For a long time, I heard it as blessed, meaning these are the good people who have not seen and have believed, as opposed to blessed, meaning these are the people that Christ will reach out for in ways other than the bodily appearance of Jesus of Nazareth, whom we already walked with in his ministry. When I look at myself as blessed, invited to see Christ in his temporal presence as it is now, I can strive for that. I can be more open to seeing Christ in the sacraments, in others, especially in the poor, and in the loving touch of the people who minister his spirit to me in my life. And I can strive to be a more believable witness, to act in more of the moments of my life in ways that make my own growing faith visible to others, in ways that extend mercy and forgiveness so that others can feel the ruah of Christ through my actions. In a few minutes, Father Chris will speak the words of the Eucharistic prayer, calling on the Spirit Ruah, to transform our simple gifts of bread and wine into a real presence of Christ that we will take into ourselves so that we can bear a little more of that Ruah into the world. Where, with whom, will you share that this week?